gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevin. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 158 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir? And you're on mute, sir.
Yeah, I'm just here in the lab just saving FIFA cards. Don't mind me.
Well, that is an indicator that we are ready to talk about new signings, even though there is actually no new signings. So everybody that keeps asking to talk about the new signings, there hasn't been any official new signings. We tried to stay away from talking about people that aren't officially ours, but I guess we'll touch on them in a little bit today. We talked about last game. We did the post game on that already. There's no preview for Wednesday's game. So we're just talking about a little bit of everything else. So let's get started. I already see the comments and a lot of the stuff that people are talking about because they saw the headline, the title, the thumbnail. And we're going to address that because I did want to address that because I got a lot of heat over the weekend over some stuff that we talked about on the last episode. But before we do, let's start with a couple of players that might be making their way back. Cremita, Ben Krem, Benjamin Kremaki. Now, my understanding is from what I've heard from local reporters is that there's a chance that he finally makes his debut for the Champions Cup on April 3rd against Monterrey. So it looks like we might be getting some reinforcements in that midfield. What do you feel about Cremita making his way back?
Well, I mean, the better question is, I guess, like, do we need it? Is it like absolutely necessary? It's really crazy because like David Ruiz has stepped up big time in terms of a young buck, as a young up and comer, you know, from the mm-hmm. academy. And then you got, yeah, of course, Diego Gomez, who's balling. Yeah. Balling. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a lot of midfielders are showing up. And so like,
yeah, Redondo.
It gets to a point where are we going to be able to find Ben Krem some time? I mean, Mr. Krabs, this year mentioning Ben Krem, a.k.a. Messi Jr., but, I mean, we haven't seen Ben Krem play for a while, so what's it going to look like? I hope he's going to be in form.
He had a rough end to last year.
Yeah, man.
Right? He was looking really good right before Messi got here. Then Messi arrived. He wasn't starting anymore, but he was looking good when he was coming off the bench. And then I'd say the last month and a half, he had a rough go. He was turning the ball over a lot more, which led a lot of those transition goals that we were giving up. But all in all, I'm glad to hear that he might be back. April 3rd, that's when they said that might be the day we might see him. And we're going to address that also. And then Franco Negri.
Oh, that's the one.
The Punisher. Ian Frey. Yeah. We haven't heard much about Ian Frey, but I have a feeling that that's coming some point in April also. But for now, Franco Negri. They were talking about, oh, he might be ready sooner than Kremaki. He might be sooner than Cremita. And all of a sudden, I wasn't expecting it. I hear that he's playing with IMCF2 yesterday during their game. He even got an assist. So, looks like the boy is good to go. What are you thinking about Franco Negri?
I mean, if he's playing real football, then he might be locked and loaded. Because I'm pretty sure that this team would love to have him in place. Look, Noah Allen, you're a great player, dude. We here love the way that you play. We love the way that you've grown. But Franco Negri behind Jordi Alba, I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, I mean, there's no way we're turning that down, right? There's no way that Tata's turning that down. An Argentinian right behind Jordi Alba.
No. I want to get to where you think he's going to play and how this is going to look. I'm going to shout somebody in the chat real quick. 88 Healing. Could you please let me know where you're from before we start addressing all the stuff you're talking about? I would love to know where you're from. So Franco Negri, he's going to be the backup left back. Is he not? He's going to back up. And unfortunately, yes. Noah Allen will no longer be the backup left back. So, were you going to say something?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm thinking, and we talked about this about a month ago. We said Noah Allen was looking a lot better at left center back, right? When they play with the three in the back.
Yeah.
And I said, I think Franco Negri would be really good at that position because he's a little stockier than Noah Allen. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a chance that we see Negri at left center back? Now, let me be clear. I like Noah Allen there. I think that he's done very well for himself, and I wouldn't mind him staying at that position as a backup. But do you think they play Franco Negri there and maybe leave Noah Allen at left back?
I could definitely see that as a possibility. And then what? Put Jordi Alba like at left mid? Left wing?
No, well, I still think Noah Allen would be the backup. I'm saying if they give a spot start, if they play three in the back and they're going to play somebody at left center back, do they go with Noah Allen or do they go with Franco Negri?
Well, I think that they'd go with, but that's the thing. We've never seen Franco Negri play like a left center back.
Right. We never saw Noah Allen do
it. We don't know. Yeah. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going to happen in terms of that. I would prefer to see Franco Negri. I mean, he's a little bit better in terms of his skill. Outlaw RPRC is saying hi from Texas. And 88 Hailing is from Spain, which is, I knew it was going to be either Spain or Buenos Aires. And
I thought it was going to be England, honestly.
AZ Rebellion is on the same page with me. I knew it. Spain, like this guy. And just so you know, 88 Hailing, before seeing your message, I said football. I said it English, but I said football. So. You got to give us a couple brownie points for that.
No, he refuses. He thinks I'm an idiot. I think it's a he. It could be a she. Maybe it's a she. I don't know. So Franco Negri, I'm glad to see him back. I think that there's a chance, right? I wouldn't mind eventually maybe seeing a spot start for Franco Negri or even Jordi Alba up on the left wing. Mm-hmm. We both said that they both are better offensively than they are defensively.
Absolutely. Right?
That's where they contribute the most. I would love to see one of those two playing up at the wing. Could you imagine Jordi Alba having the freedom to just roam on the left wing? I mean, well, I think that... Go ahead.
Well, my whole point with Negri and Alba playing like with each other is sort of the same deal that I kind of expected from Robert Taylor, where they both can push up and come back and defend pretty efficiently. Robert Taylor is a pretty efficient defender. He's not the best. He's not out of this world. Right, Jordi Alba, in terms of maybe defensive ability, is probably better. But I mean, same thing with Franco Negri. Franco Negri and Jordi Alba, they both play a lot better pushing up than coming back and playing defense. So, but if they can spell off of each other, one can come back or feel confident enough that, hey, the other guy's got my back on defense, I'll get him on offense, and we'll vice versa this later on in the game. I think that that works wonders because you're talking about taking away all of these steps and this amount of miles that these guys are running per game, you know, that's a wear and tear.
Can we agree that Franco Negri will not start though? Like if everybody's healthy, he's not starting.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We're looking at him as a depth piece. He's not going to start at left center back. Only way is if Jordi Alba's out or we're playing three in the back and they decide to go with him over Noah Allen.
Yeah, and Trap Money is mentioning Jordi's been in the midfield roaming in the last few MLS games, which is true. I mean, when Messi wasn't in, all you saw was Jordi Alba playing like the mini Messi throughout the field.
He was playing that inverted fullback, uh-huh?
Correct, yes. And Mr. Krabs is mentioning, Danny, this chat is a sausage party. Looks like a 2000s club here, buddy. Yeah.
No.
Andro. What's going on, brother?
And for the record, we have female viewers also.
We do.
Look, there you go.
Yeah, Miles Taylor, Kenny. Yeah, he could play. I don't know
about. I've never seen him play right back. We count a lot for our offense to contribute. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. We count on our fullbacks to contribute a lot offensively. Okay. So Ryan Saylor isn't going to give us that. He's not going to contribute offensively, and we count a lot on our fullbacks to kind of get the ball rolling forward, whether it be Yedlin, which would push the ball up, or Jordi Alba, which actually makes things happen. So, and then Jason L is asking if anyone got the free tickets for the second team. I heard from Peter Brown that if you contact your rep, that they will load those tickets up for you because technically they are part of our package, but you have to call your rep and request them. So if you are a season ticket holder, and I'm assuming you live in Broward, right? Because I can't imagine that anybody from Homestead or South Miami like myself are going to drive an hour to watch the IMCF2 game. If you are in that area, you go ahead.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Danny, and just so you can kind of understand what's going on in terms of what I thought with the game was going to happen with the IMCF2 game. I thought that for sure you had to meet up with a guy at some point that's going to hand you like a brown paper bag with like tickets inside of it. Because the fact that nobody was able to get tickets loaded into their account or even have some sort of ability to be able to have those tickets, like, what are we doing? Are we going to be doing drug deals outside of Drive Pink? I can't even call it Drive Pink. What is it? It's what is this? Chase Stadium. So like somebody's going to meet me outside with a brown paper bag with a pair of tickets. And Stancy, yeah, Danny, I think he just got devoured by his dog. I actually have my cat here. She probably heard the dog barking. So yeah, I mean, look. Kako's saying Vice City, baby. Yeah, that's basically what it is. You want your tickets, meet that guy in the front with the brown paper bag and you'll have your seat. Now, Danny had mentioned something where he was talking about Ian Frey or a right back position. And I remember when Tata mentioned the right back position, I thought to myself, this is perfect because he had mentioned Ian Frey with the possibility of him playing right back. And that's one thing I wanted to mention before Danny got eaten alive by his hot dog dog. It's not a Chihuahua dog. I think it's a hot dog dog. So, and Danny's coming back on the screen for those of you that are on audio. Maybe Jesus. He can let you guys know if it's a hot dog dog. So it's a hot mutt. Dog dog.
It's a mutt. It's half Chihuahua, half I don't know what.
Half hot dog.
It's a mutt. It's a mutt.
Half hot dog.
So I missed whatever you were talking about.
So I was talking now. About, I was telling them that, you know, you want your IMCF2 tickets, meet the guy outside. He'll give it to you in a brown paper bag, right? Sealed. And that's how you're going to be able to get into IMCF2 games. Boom. Yep. Bada bing, bada boom, baby. Bang.
Oh, they said just contact your rep and you'll get them loaded up. So it shouldn't be too difficult.
Hot dog dog is a dash. And good job, Broward. I mean, I don't know. And Alejandro says wife came back and Chris still no background. Listen, Alejandro, don't take the bait, buddy. When the wife comes back, don't take the bait, buddy. Don't take the bait.
All right. So let's move on. Something I saw somebody commenting on here, in the chat earlier, and something that I figured that we should address. Diego Gomez apparently is getting a lot of, looks from people from different leagues. Inter Miami said that they wouldn't interfere if anybody's trying to give Diego Gomez a chance to play overseas. So there's a chance that Diego Gomez might keep balling the way he has. He might go to Copa America and ball out there for Paraguay. And next thing you know, he might be off in the summer. What do you think about Diego Gomez and the possibility of him leaving during the summer? Do you think he would take that and leave?
Well, and look, Stancy is here already saying that I'm going to be happy if he leaves. I'm not going to be happy if he leaves because we're not really spending much. We're not spending much for Diego Gomez at this point. No,
we only paid $3 million for him. We paid his salary. We paid $3 million to acquire his rights.
Yeah. So now, I mean, the Broward Heron is asking a better question. We better get at least $20 million for him.
No, you're not going to get 20. At least I don't think you're
going to get 20. I mean, I don't think you're going to get 20 mil, but you can get some cash out of this. Now, I wouldn't want to give him up especially considering the kind of, I guess, the kind of ability that he's generating for the team, both defensively and now offensively, which I got to give him. I got to give him a pound for that, because you don't want to lose a player like that. Like, mm-hmm. is it me or is Taylor Twellman basically seeing that Diego Gomez is that guy? And he's like, he keeps on talking him up. And I don't know. I mean, Diego Gomez shows that he's a good player. But obviously, when you hear from the commentary and these people are watching footage and stuff, they're like, ooh,
Diego Gomez. Well, because Diego Gomez, I feel, has the skill set to produce wherever he goes. He's got that engine that's going to translate to any league. And he's a box-to-box midfielder. Like, that is going to translate well to wherever he ends up. He's not going to be that winger or that striker that needs to learn how to play in a finesse league or in a more physical league. Like, he's just that box-to-box guy that works off the motor and has enough skill where I think that translates to just about anywhere. Now, is he going to get 20 mil? I don't think so. Not at all. I saw somebody comment that Almada has had in Atlanta. He hasn't left because they haven't given him what they're looking for. And I don't think Diego Gomez is going to get anywhere near that. Maybe you might get 10
million. Almada's Almada. He's a top-tier player in this league. Like, he's proven. So, yeah,
100%.
Yeah, he's absolutely proven. I mean, Gomez has played pretty well. But there's going to be teams that are going to want to take a flyer on him. And I don't think that if they're not willing to spend 20 mil on Almada, you think they're going to be able to break – you think they're going to want to break the bank for Diego Gomez? AZ Rebellion is mentioning maybe 10 mil. Mike V is mentioning 8 mil is the offer from Brighton. I don't know, man. I don't know. We're going to get something out of him. And if we do get some good money out of him, great. But hopefully he can stick, long-term in terms of at least this season. So that way we can be able to get real good utilization from him because – I mean, look, Ben Krem, who's a workhorse, is not available for us right now. Mm-hmm. You know, David Ruiz matches sort of the same intensity, but, like, he's flirting with the right back position, the right wing position. Like, I mean, they're throwing him all over the place, so we have really no way of being able to figure out how we're going to replace Diego Gomez, even though we have a plethora of midfielders. So, how good is that? How good of a problem is that to have a plethora of midfielders?
Well, and that's when we were talking about the fact that Kremaki might not have anywhere to play. But if we start seeing Diego Gomez head out, Redondo is supposed to be here for a couple years. But, I mean, Redondo, the way he's been looking, I wouldn't say that he's going to be here past next season. Maybe we get a full season out of him next year, but I think that's about it. So I think that this is going to be – we're going to become one of those clubs that gets good South American players, which is what I've always wanted. I wanted the MLS in general and Inter Miami specifically to be that bridge to Europe. Yeah. If you're a baller in South America, come ball out here for a year or two and then be on your way to Europe. And if we become that would be beautiful, because if we become that, although we won't see players stay here for more than a year or two, we're going to become a destination for those top players in South America, because they know, like, okay, we go to Inter Miami, we play there for a year or two, and then we make the trip over to Europe. And I think that that's going to be great for us if that's what ends up happening. And Diego Gomez and Redondo would be the perfect starting point, I guess you could say, as to like that path or the blueprints to that path for the South Americans to go to Europe.
Well, and not only that, but at least for the next 2 years, I feel like we're kind of guaranteed to get really, really good young players that are willing to kind of take a little break on their like search for Europe. Because to play with Messi, Busquets, and Alba, like, they're not going to get that anywhere in their life ever. So, like, I think that they'll take that hand over fist over playing for some team in Europe.
Yeah, and then – well, and the thing is, a lot of times they end up having to go to, like, a second division team or a lower table team. Or, and if they go to a top team, they don't even start. That's a good question. I didn't understand it. If you could maybe
explain. I think I understand. I think I understand what Esteban's saying. And Esteban, if you could just clarify what you're saying here. But I think what he's saying is, why only hope for layovers? Like, if we are the layover. So, like, they're transitioning to our team, sitting here until they find their final destination in Europe. Well, so, we are essentially the layover team.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief here in the chat, I'm not a complete idiot. I know that the MLS isn't a top league in the world right now. So I understand that if we're going to get top talent, it'd be nice for them to lay over here on the way to Europe and then get them on the way back once they're past their prime or on the latter half of their career. I understand what's going on. But if they bypass us and they go straight to the top leagues in Europe, then the MLS will never be a top league.
Yeah.
So how are we going to grow? We're going to grow, keep getting a lot of talent. If this talent keeps coming over, the league in general is just going to grow, whether it be in popularity, in competitively. It's just and yes, allegedly, I'm not an idiot.
Allegedly.
So I think that it helps in many ways. I understand that it would be great if the MLS was just the destination. It was the final destination. This is where everybody wanted to be. But like, let's be real, it's not the case.
Well, I don't think that our league is at that point where any team in this league is a destination spot. I think out of all the teams in the MLS, we certainly are the destination spot.
Because of Messi.
Of course, at this moment. And because of South Florida. But like, take away Messi and South Florida. Like, again, we're not a destination spot, period. Only in the MLS at this moment. But, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Like, you know, Ligue 1 and, well, I mean, I don't even want to say Ligue 1. I mean, at this point, it's only the EPL.
No, La Liga is
far
superior. Bundesliga is far superior. Ligue 1, I can't stand them, but I guess they're above us also.
We're talking about at least four leagues.
I'm sorry. Let me let you finish your thought before I keep going.
Yeah. So like I was saying, we essentially are behind a lot of those leagues out in Europe.
I don't even know if we're top 10 yet though.
Well, but that's the thing, is that we're never going to be a destination for any footballer, like at least another 10 years. And that's hoping that we're going to arrive at the point where we're going to have an influx of so many great players that are like building this brand up. But until that time comes, we're never going to get to that point.
I will tell you, I think talent wise, we are not top 10. Okay. I think destination wise, where players would want to play, I think we are top 10.
And
I really believe that. I think that MLS has a chance to eventually go into the top 10 as far as talent goes within the next 10 years. And again, talent wise, yes, of course, 100%. Yes,
you're gonna get stuck in the mud, Danny. I'm telling you right now.
I just said the MLS isn't a top 10 league. What am I saying? They're not a top 10 league. I think as far as destinations go, I think we are a top 10 league. If people want to go come play here over Saudi Arabia, like the only way that they're going to Saudi Arabia is when they pay them $1 billion to play for one season. Other than that, like they're coming over here. What kills us is the salary cap, but hopefully that changes soon.
I don't know, Danny. You got to be careful, because once we start getting into talking leagues and comparisons and stuff, they're going to come out with the torches and the bow and the arrow bows, the crossbows and stuff. You're done.
Well, I think when they raise the salary cap, it's going to help us a lot. And again, talent wise, we are definitely a lot further behind everybody else. But like I said, even if it's just a layover, if you get those South Americans coming to the MLS, whether it be 1, 2, 3 years, I'm telling you, it's just going to grow. So, go ahead.
And Mr. Krabs is saying, I looked it up. MLS is ranked 16th. But then the next message, go ahead.
I don't know how those rankings are done. Like, what do they take into account? I don't know.
And then the next message after that is Esteban saying the MLS can be a top 10 league if you take out the cap. But that's the thing, guys, is that if you take out the cap, then you're essentially opening up to be the
top
American
heavy.
Yeah, the American version of EPL, where you're so top heavy and you don't have this underdoggy sort of feel. And but that's kind of like what America loves, right?
The thing is, football lovers from around the world are accustomed to that and they love that.
Oh, and it's gross.
I agree. I prefer every team having a chance to win every couple of years. But they love that. And especially American football fans that watch like overseas. Like, oh my God, they love it. They love it. They're like, oh my God, bring pro routes to the United States, please. Why? Because but you don't like any teams that ever get relegated. That's why you like it.
But then that's another thing. It's like if your team takes a L, like in the first, you know, like one or two matches, you're fucking done. Like there's nothing else to ever play for anymore, really. I mean, other than these little side Lego trophies.
Yeah, and then Rohan asked an interesting question. The MLS is the best. He's asking if MLS is the best North American league or is it Liga MX?
I mean, at this point.
Look, Liga MX, I think because they – I think Liga MX might be there, but I think MLS has closed that gap a lot. I think that it is the disparity there is very minimal now. And I think that in a few years, we should overtake them.
And Broward Heron is mentioning parity is cool, but popularity is better. If we can get the American football fans on our side, we don't need the international market, which is absolutely correct, which is why MLS is not trying to compete with EPL, with Ligue 1. They're trying to compete with the leagues that are here in the United States.
The
moment that they can be able to compare against the NBA, the NFL, we're talking about a completely different ballgame. Well,
they'll never touch the NFL.
Yeah, and that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. But they're never going to need Europe if that ever happens. Forget about Europe. I don't care about Europe. You want to keep your Ligue 1 and your EPLs, and you want to follow a team that loses once and then never going to play for a big trophy and that and whatever. You know, forget about it.
And Esteban, I don't know how this conversation ended up starting, but Esteban said we Americans love super teams. Now I will tell you about the whole super team thing.
The quicksand.
The thing is that the NFL and the NBA are established already, so they already have people that like it, and then the sport is already popular here, so it's easy to market those super teams to the young kids that just want to follow the winners. So I think that it's simple when you're the NFL and you're the NBA and you have these super teams. But when you're trying to grow a league, like you want it to grow in popularity, you can't be like, hey, San Diego, you got a brand new team. But guess what? You're never going to win anything because only these four or five teams are ever going to win. But good luck at the U.S. Open Cup. Like, I'm sorry, but American fans aren't going to go for that. Like, American fans want there to be an opportunity to eventually compete for a championship. If they know that there's no chance to compete for a championship, they're not going to be interested. And maybe people that aren't from the United States don't realize that, but here in this country, that's why they like that. That's why the NFL is king, because every year you get a last place team that all of a sudden takes a huge step forward and all of a sudden has a chance to win it all. The Bengals. And for those of you that don't know American football, a team, the Cincinnati Bengals, was the worst team in the NFL one year. And the next year, they made it to the Super Bowl. Wild. But that happens here when there is parity, when there is a salary cap. You'll never see that anywhere else. And that's the problem. And let's get off this. So I don't even know how we got on.
I told you it's quicksand, baby. You start talking about other leagues. You start talking about Europe. Forget about it. We're done.
All right. Do you want to touch up on the hypothetically the guy that we might get? Marcelo, and I still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
So,
Weigand.
There's the FIFA card, guys. Read it and weep. Okay. Marcelo Weigand. This is his most recent FIFA card on FC 24, FIFA 24, whatever the hell you want to call it at this point. And he's put as a right back, 72. Right. For those of you that are on audio, we're putting up his FIFA card. It is a silver rare. So keep that in mind, guys. We have statistics that to me, defensively, you're right back. You're 68. You're 68. Forget about it, guy. And your pace is 79. This is what we gave. This is what we gave Yedlin up for, this guy, because of that flag down there.
I like Florida Man right here. He gave us the pronunciation. Weigand. Thank you, Florida Man. I hope he's correct. All right.
We're going to take your word for it. At least I will.
Weigand. Okay, so let's just go with it. Marcelo Weigand. Tried to read up on him. I couldn't find too much information on his play style. My understanding is that he lost his starting job, so he wasn't getting much play. And his representatives have had issues and clashed with the front office, which is why he further fell out of favor, and that is why he is being shopped. Now, it hasn't gone through officially. They're trying to figure out the whole extension because his contract ended this summer. So technically, if Inter Miami were to just wait until the summer, they could just sign him for free.
Yeah.
But they obviously don't want to wait. So what he's going to do is going to get an extension with Boca, and then he's going to be loaned out to us with an option for the second year and an option to buy, I believe, after that year. So that's what is on the table. It is not official yet. They haven't said it's official. So we try on this show not to talk about anything that's not official because we're not reporters. So we don't want to report anything that is incorrect because we don't know shit. We just know what reporters say. So up until now, it's unclear if we're going to have him or not. If we do get him, I would assume that if you bring him on and you don't wait for him to be a free agent in the summer, it's because you want him to play immediately. Otherwise, you could just sign him for free. No?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's supposed to come over here free 99, right?
In the summertime.
Yes.
Because we would be getting him right now, we would have to pay. So that is the difference here.
Now, Mr. Crab says he looks like he works at a GameStop. Absolutely. In the middle of Dolphin Mall. He doesn't even get the GameStop that's by the lids. He gets the GameStop that's in the middle by the food court. That's where he's working at.
He looks like a bench player for Boca Juniors. He is a bench player for Boca Juniors.
Get out of here. Now, somebody had mentioned to pull this up, and I'm going to pull up the Yedlin card. So let's see the comparisons here. Let me take down that. It's all good. Let's see the comparisons real quick. We got 85 on pace for Yedlin, 79 for Weigand. We got 50 shot. For 3 points better. Apparently, he's a number better in passing. He's apparently 5 points better in dribbling.
And then before we start getting killed, because it's not the live chat. It's the chat after that watches this not live. Before they start killing us about the FIFA cards, guys, relax. We're just having some fun here.
Have you seen this guy? You guys in the chat, after this episode is done, did you guys scout him? Did you guys live with this guy?
They count on us to do that.
Did you watch every single game live? Did you catch every single breath of his? Then you don't know what you're talking about. Read it and weep. Here's the card, baby.
All right.
FIFA gets paid a lot more money.
Well, again, we don't know if he's coming. Supposedly he is. We still have to wait to see if that's the case. And I guess we'll move on to our final topic of the day. Now,
wait. Before you talk about the last topic, this was what I brought up when you stepped in and almost got your foot, eaten by your dog. Remember how Tata had mentioned Ian Frey wanting to play right back? Mm-hmm. There's still that option too. So that's something that we can't really discredit. That's something that I'm really waiting for. So
but the fact that we're considering bringing this kid on and not even waiting for the summer we can get him for free, doesn't that make you think that Frey either isn't ready or is just going to play center back? I guess technically we need a backup right back because we don't have any right at the moment.
Yeah, and Rohan, you're on the money, baby. The intro does clearly mention that from Kevincho saying that this is how we scout players here. And if you don't like it.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way.
What's up with Frey?
We don't necessarily have like a huge gap at this moment at right back. Like for those of you that are still watching games, David Ruiz played pretty solid at right back. So like,
yeah, he's looked okay.
I mean, he's not the greatest, but I mean, to fill that position at the moment temporarily.
I have a question for you. And before we go on to our last topic, even when we were playing soccer yesterday, we heard a couple people bringing it up. Luka Modric to Miami. Do you think that there's any chance of this happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I don't want it to happen. Yeah, and I'm curious to see if the chat agrees or disagrees with my reasoning. I think that our midfield needed to be upgraded. I thought that that's what we needed. On the offseason, I said that our midfield needed to be upgraded. In the preseason, I thought our midfield is what's looking the worst. All of a sudden, Diego Gomez came back from the pre-Olympics. He looked good. We got Redondo. moving fast, box to box. I think that having those two players next to Busquets helped the midfield and Busquets because they cover so much ground that Busquets can move around a little more freely. If you bring in Modric, which, by the way, when he was like 25 was still slow. He's now 38, going on 39. He is going to be as slow as Molasses next to Busquets. And yes, I understand that the feeling is that in football, it's a lot more mental than physical. But at some point, you need the physical, okay? And if you have Busquets and Modric, I'm sorry, but that midfield is going to suffer in this league that's a transition league. This league is all about the counterattack. So Modric and Busquets, although on FIFA it sounds cute, I don't think that that's a good idea for this current team as currently constructed. So I love Modric. Everybody that kills me for being a Real Madrid fan, I get it. That's fine. I love Modric, but I don't think that he works with the current roster at hand.
You need to be careful, Danny, because I think that there's Argentinians that have been calling the police on you because they're apparently going after you. And Trav is mentioning that Modric isn't a cultural fit. I mean, we have Anthony. If you think bringing Modric is bad now, what are we doing in 2028?
Maybe he needs as a coach.
I mean, there's people saying he's too old, and we're thinking about bringing him 4 years from now. Like, this guy's gonna be in a fucking wheelchair playing.
I thought Busquets looked good when he first got here. I didn't think he looked bad towards that last part of the year, but I did see where he was struggling because he was getting man-marked and he couldn't do anything about it because he had no other players around him. He had a hard time roaming. He had to worry so much about the defense. When Diego Gomez and Redondo have been flanking him on each side, I'm sorry, but he's looked better. Diego Gomez has looked good. Redondo has looked great. I think the midfield has been the best we've seen since, I mean, I guess that's a given, but this is the best midfield that this franchise has ever seen. Short history, I get it, and big name, so it's easy to say, but I don't think that you mess with that. Now, if Diego Gomez leaves, I don't think Modric should be the one to replace him.
I want to mention something, Bani. You're absolutely right. I apologize. Oh, Argentinians, what do we have to do with anything? I generalize there. It's not Argentinians. It's Spaniards that are in the chat that hate on everything that Danny says out of his mouth. So sorry about that, guys. Maybe I shouldn't have done that.
All right. So let's get on to, I guess, our topic of the day. Obviously, not a lot to talk about today.
I love Argentinians.
I'm actually surprised that we've made it 40 minutes without talking about our topic of the day.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll start with this one right here. Danny is a former Ronaldo fan. I was a Real Madrid fan. Yes, I liked Ronaldo. I understand that for a lot of people, it's black and white. It's like, if you like Real Madrid, you hate Messi. That's not the case. I want it to be very, very clear. I'm an Inter Miami fan. If Real Madrid can go and bankrupt and go and disappear and never play football again, I don't care. I don't. Inter Miami is all I care about, okay? I root for them, yes. Inter Miami is all I care about. I don't give a crap about Real Madrid, Manchester United, which is my EPL team. I don't care about any of those teams. Inter Miami is my number one. Okay, so go ahead.
You know that all that everybody heard after you said I'm a Real Madrid fan was wah, 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 wah. Yeah, like, that's what happened.
That's fine. All right. Anyway, so I saw when we first started the show, a lot of people in the chat were talking about the fact that only Americans and only this show would talk about MVP after seven games. Yeah. Let me be very clear. We had that conversation in passing last episode. We said, wow, Suarez is balling. I think it's safe to say that seven games in, he's been the MVP so far. Right? That's all we said. That's all we said. Up until this point, statistically, the fact that he won a game without Messi there, all we said was, up until this point, Luis Suarez is the MVP. Okay? Now, I see a lot of people in the chat might be agreeing with us. Now, some people say it's wrong. All right. Now, I wanted to go to this. Okay? Now, unfortunately, not everybody joins us in the chat live. Some people watch later, and they decide to comment on YouTube. So, I decided to put some of these up.
So here we have the loner underscore 10 says, hey, Danny, I agree with most of your take on football, and I like Suarez a lot. But saying that he is the MVP ahead of Messi, hell no.
All right.
So that was one.
That's one. All right. Let me delete that right there. All right. Yeah. Now let's go going. For the next one. Let's go.
These guys loves to spit up on the air about their faces. Again, saying that this Messi is implying good or the same without Messi. Don't let that only one good game blind you, like Chris with a performance from Gomez or Miller. No, but like that's Irwin. But Irwin, he's hot and cold on his comments. He's good though.
Here we go.
And then should I do this one as well?
Go for it.
Kind of feels like Messi is always low key disrespected here. Never gets any credit, which is funny because he won this team their first trophy. And he's been clutch this season. His goals have come at important moments for this team. Like the goal against Nashville. Oh, we play better without Messi? Come on.
All right. Well, I don't. Did you remember saying that we play better without Messi? I don't remember saying that.
I don't think I've ever said that in a world.
Well, let's see.
Hey, Danny, gay Penaldo lover, go learn about football first.
Again, all we said that up until this point, it felt like Luis Suarez was playing like the MVP of the team. That's all I said. Now, let's keep going.
Shame on you, disrespect Messi.
Like, these guys really got to, like, wipe their faces, dude.
He's by far the best player we have. Don't listen to Danny. Anything to discredit, to semi-discredit Messi, logically, he will do it. Suarez is falling over his feet half the time, but he's the MVP, apparently, because of tapping set up by everyone and his ass legit. Anyone could have made nothing special. He's amazing, but Messi does everything. Danny doesn't know football. He knows only soccer, just stats.
So, let me tell you something. And there was
wily, bro.
And let me say, there was way more. And I just chose a couple, but I was like, man, like people are like obsessed.
Oh. We should do this like a segment where we read comments.
You know what? This I like that. Just, yeah. I mean, because
just the read stuff that we comment get. Of the week. The comment of the mm-hmm. week. You know what, guys? We're going to do that. So I'm going to read this in my normal voice. Suarez can carry Miami when Messi doesn't play. When Messi does play, don't ever compare the two. Edit. I'm going to add something even more obvious because it's kind of pissing me off. You do know none of the players you got, Suarez, Alba, Busquets, go to Miami without Messi choosing that team. Man, downright changed the history of your club, and when he is injured, you diss him. Show some respect.
I'm not gonna put up any more, but like, what the hell? Like, I literally have a picture of him in my house. Like, I'm not disrespecting anyone just because I don't suck on his knob every single passing moment does not mean that I don't respect him. Luis Suarez has been the MVP of this team so far. That's all it is.
Listen, like I want to preface something here because Adarsh is saying, Chris, this. I'm assuming you're saying dissing his own audience. I'm not dissing anybody. Listen, I love doing this voiceover, having fun, guys. People can comment whatever they want. You guys can go to YouTube, comment whatever you feel, and you guys are entitled to it. Everybody has their own opinions, but like, the one thing that you guys got to understand is that, like, we're not, like, we can't generalize here. Like, if we were, yes, look, LM10, which obviously you're a Lionel Messi fan, which is amazing, but you cannot be able to look at what's happened this season. I'm not talking about most important person of this league, like, in terms of, like, what they're bringing eyes to the league.
Or the best player on the team.
Yeah, we're talking about, like, through this season, right? Statistically, and their impact, like Suarez has had a statistical better impact than anyone in this league. Like Messi is Messi, and I think Marasovic said that. And I would love a side job for reading audiobooks. Are you kidding me? I used to, I don't know if you guys remember, there used to be the movie phone that you would call, and you'd call and they'd be like, "Welcome to Movie Phone, brought to you by Y100 and the New Times." Like, oh my God, I would practice that all the time. But guys, again, understand that we can't generalize here. Messi is the greatest player of all time, greatest player alive on this planet at this moment. But we're not talking about greatest player and what they're bringing into the league. We're talking about this year. Statistically, Suarez is just the best player of the league at this moment. Statistically, Messi's still Messi, guys. He's still great. He's still amazing.
No, and then just a couple things. There's been, I'm talking regular season, right? There's been five regular season games. Luis Suarez has played in all five of those.
How
Messi's only played three of them. No,
I can't say what I just said, Danny. I can't say what I just said. Outlaw is, are you, am I gonna be banned? Am I gonna get what is this, canceled? I'm gonna get Messi canceled, guys.
I'm just saying, look, I'm talking about just strictly why I say it, right? Which I didn't think, and everybody that was saying, like, oh my God, how only Americans would have this conversation. Well, because it's a talking point, Judas, because people are talking about it. That's why
I was gonna bring this comment up. Judas, I have a question. So, like, when you look at the league that you watch, or you look at the respective, you know, league or teams that you watch or whatever, like, early into the season, isn't it fun banter to be able to talk about, like, who's the best player of the league so far? You're essentially talking about who the best player, MVP, is of the league. I mean, it's the same discussion. It's the same discussion. Imagine we're not actually American.
Well, I am Colombian.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't born in another country, so.
Well, look, all in all, I just wanted to bring up the fact, like, that's fine. I don't know. We spent too much time on those messages. But real quick, Suarez has played more games than Messi. He does more statistically. Now, who's more important on the pitch? Messi, obviously. He attracts so much attention. He creates for other people. But up until this point, Luis Suarez has played more games and contributed more. That's all it is.
And Yuta Kumar, 100%. Yuta Kumar, we're not saying that. Look, Messi, again, his impact on the field statistically and off the field for this organization and this league, yes, it surpasses stats. But again, we're going back to the core discussion of just statistically this year. Statistically this year, Luis Suarez has had one of the highest contributions so far this season. Look,
And I don't know how MVP works in other countries, but MVP in this country, usually statistically. Statistically, you are. Look, he's got TT. That's fine. All right. So that's all I wanted to bring up. I want to bring up the fact that we said that in passing, right? We're like, oh, he's playing so well that he's probably the MVP up until this point. That was it. That's all we said. We said it in passing, and then we moved on. But then I saw all those comments on YouTube, and I felt like, you know what? We don't have too much to talk about today. Let's cover these and then just bring that up a second. Yes, I do think that it's too early to talk MVP. We usually wouldn't, but obviously people took offense to not saying Messi should win MVP. I am 100% sure that if Messi wouldn't play not one game this year, that people would still want him to win MVP. Because Luis Suarez and everybody else came because of Messi.
Well, and look, LM10 is asking, what is MVP for you? And he mentioned in another comment something about not just goals and assists. Look, when it comes to like MVP discussions, just in sports wide in the United States, we're not looking at how many times this guy passed with his left foot, how many completions he did with his right foot passing, how many dribbles he had per cubic square feet. Like, we're not doing all that.
No, but it's true. Like, if Messi was healthy and played all five games, I think that maybe he would, but he hasn't. He hasn't. So
I mean, this is it. I mean, we just got to close the show out with this. Outlaw, RP, you win. You win. Outlaw, RP, RC, you won. Officially, MVP, Messi is MVP just by breathing, because he breathes the air that we share with him, because that's not even our air. That's his air.
I love
this.
I love these comments. These people swear that they are the be-all, end-all in football knowledge. I love it. I love it. I'm sure that you're a genius, Iman. I hope that you get a head coaching job somewhere and you are very successful, because obviously you know a lot of football. So good for you, and good for Skyler, RR, and you guys just keep striving, because you guys are awesome.
Skyler and buddy Iman, I hope that you guys have baby pictures of when you were born, and when you were born that you had a pair of soccer cleats. Oh, I'm sorry, football cleats, as you were entering into this world.
I appreciate you saying this.
I mean, guys, what are we doing?
Look, I'm not gonna lie. This is probably up there with episode 98. Today was a horrible episode. I promise you, we'll try to do better. This was horrible.
Is it because Tommy One Time is here in town?
It might be
because Tommy One Time is in town, so it like traveled up down south.
Yeah, but today was pretty bad. We didn't have too much to talk about, and then we kind of fell into the mud. With all these talks, but we appreciate everybody joining in the chat, because it's always fun interacting with you guys, even if some of you guys have your mouth full. Chris, any final words?
I mean, guys, I don't know. I usually have final words. I don't even know what to say anymore, guys.
At 10 o'clock, we are going on Batter Herons en Español. So if you haven't already, so make sure that you subscribe to that channel, because we are going to be talking about the Nashville game, in which we won and we moved on to the quarterfinals. We will be talking about the game in which Messi did not play, that Luis Suarez led us to victory. And we will also be talking about little Luis Suarez and Messi MVP talk. That's right. We're going to do it in Spanish also, but we're going to do it with Solana and La Voz Xavi. And I just put the link out there in the chat. So if you haven't already and you want to listen to a little bit more Battered Herons and Inter Miami talk for the next hour, go ahead and click on there, subscribe, and we will be on there in about 8 minutes. So you already had your final words. Go ahead and catch us there in Spanish in a couple minutes. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us a 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, tell your friends. And if you are watching after the fact and you want to comment, appreciate it. I like Messi. Okay? The guy? There he is.
And like and subscribe and do all that good stuff, guys.
I am a Messi fan. I am a Messi fan, okay? So for all the doubters, I am. And for those of you guys in the live chat, we appreciate you as always. Even if you were giving me a hard time, it's all love. I don't care. I could take it. Just don't 145 our guests. You can 145 me whenever you want. So we appreciate you for taking the time to hang out with us for almost an hour. And 10 o'clock in Espanol on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We'll be back. Until the next one, have a good one.